Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
So how was your week?
It was uneventful for the first time in a long time, so it was nice. Didn't have any softball, didn't have anything going on. So it was nice. Had dinner at a friend's house Friday night, let the kids play, and Saturday I'm out in the lawn most of the day, mowing the lawn, just looking for things to do, you know? And yesterday, nothing. Did absolutely nothing other than I had one little task, was what I wanted to do, if that makes sense, you know? And so it was a good day. Good weekend. Very good weekend. Was yours good? Out in the fields a lot? Baseball diamond a lot? Is that what I heard? Huh? Got a tickle in your throat?
Oh, my gosh. That last shot of water went down the wrong pipe.
Happens at the wrong time, right?
Man.
I used to get the hiccups all the time when I go on air.
Yes.
It drove me crazy. But yeah.
We were at Blanchard. And it was I had no idea. The kids know more about this stuff than I do. And so the first game, it was actually a team that had beaten us out here at one of the tournaments at Elk.
Okay.
And the boys played great. 7-1 win. And then, so I start looking at the next team warming up, kind of on another field or whatever outside, you know, beyond the left field fence. And it was like, whoa. I mean, they were just playing catch, right?
Yeah.
But you can always tell. Now, wait a minute. These guys look pretty serious.
Yeah.
And somebody brought it to my attention, which I didn't even know this was a thing. Did you know? You know, they call it, you know, travel ball.
Right.
Or what have you.
Right, right.
Well, there's rankings. State of Oklahoma rankings for 10U baseball travel ball. I'm not kidding you.
There's rankings.
There are rankings.
Not standings, but rankings.
Rankings. Ranking teams off of, I would assume, tournament play and success and that kind of thing. And so I get to looking at these rankings that my son brought to my attention. It turns out that three of the top, like, six teams in the state are in this tournament.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, huh. Oh, but darn.
And might as well be a state tournament.
And the team that the boys play on Saturday was, like, number three.
Oh, wow.
The team I was talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, warming up. I was like, they look pretty good. Turns out, yeah, they were. And the Eagles, without a hit, mind you, somehow won that game 5-4.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they hit the ball, but they didn't actually, what you would call a hit.
Sure.
But played great defense, pitched well. And then yesterday got the first win, and then played a name that I want to see if you shiver when I say whose kid this was, Matt Yost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his son was on the team we played yesterday, Jet. Yeah.
Just as good.
Turns out he's pretty good. He's not as big as Matt was at yet.
Probably will be.
Yet.
Yeah.
emphasize yet. No, he was just fine, along with the rest of his team. But it was 2-2 in the bottom of the third, two out, two on, second and third, Wyatt at the plate. And when he hit it, I thought, oh, my gosh, he hit it over the fence. And unfortunately, he had possum power, which means it died right at the warning track and the kid caught it. And then from there, went from 2-2 to 7-2 in the last two innings. But for the Sarah Eagles, they played outstanding. As good at baseball as they played all summer long. So it's one of those, yeah, you know, when you leave there, you're like, dang, we lost. At the same time, you're going, that was pretty good.
You want those tournaments, right?
Absolutely.
You want that competition.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, I'm not going to see a whole bunch of teams better than those two we just saw.
Very true.
And so that was fun to watch and fun to watch those other teams too. Man, they were very, very good. You can tell why they're in the rankings where mm-hmm. they were in the rankings. So that's what we did. I mean, as far, you know, Jeremy, Texas yesterday, you know, one of the best majors he's seen in a while. And I'm going, Really? I said I didn't see a single shot over the weekend. That's not true. We did get back to the hotel on Saturday in time to watch. I missed the drama with Jon Rahm. I saw him putting for bogey. And then I went back and figured out how he did it. He hit the lip of the bunker trying to get out on his second shot and then hit it to another bunker and all that. So I saw his putt and Morikawa's putt. Or no. It wasn't Morikawa. Who was he playing with? I can't remember. And then I saw Joel Damon and Morikawa finish on the last hole on number 18. So those were the shots I saw over the weekend. But going back looking at it, Matthew Fitzpatrick joins. If you're going to be on a list of golf and there's only one name on the list, could you think of anybody better to be on a list with than Jack Nicklaus?
No.
So Fitzpatrick joins Jack Nicklaus as the only guys in the history of the game of golf to win the U.S. Amateur and the U.S. Open on the same golf course. Jack did it at Pebble. Matthew Fitzpatrick does it at the Country Club at Brookline. One-shot win over Will Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler. Going back and watching what I did get to watch, when in the world did Matthew Fitzpatrick go from a pea shooter to a bazooka?
I don't know.
Even Scheffler made the comment yesterday after it was over, has he been on the Bryson plan? And then Fitzpatrick shot back, I took my drug test, I'm negative, I'm fine, or what have you. But no, seriously, I mean, the buzz started on Saturday. So number 15 was, it's got like a road in the middle of the fairway that's, what, 330 or 340 or whatever it is off the tee, and he hit it over the road. And so that was like, what? And then yesterday, the par 4 fifth was playing 301. It was a little bit damp. It was a little bit cool. It was a little bit windy. And over the last handful of groups, he's the only one. He drove it on the green. None of the other guys did. And then on number 8, the par 5 that was into the breeze, he hit it like 271, 3-wood, onto the green. The only guy in the groups that mattered to not only knock it on those greens in 1 and then 2, but make birdie on both holes. Nobody else is birdie in any of them. And he was out of nowhere, this guy that was just ripping it down there. So that's really interesting to me because he's always seemed like a guy that was good for the U.S. Open because he was like a plotter, you know, here to here to here. And now all of a sudden he wins his first major by becoming a bomber sometime over the last like 3 months. It's just incredible with his size, little bitty guy, weighing like 5'8", weighing 150 or whatever. But
yeah, he looks fresh out of high school.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was funny to see the pictures side by side of 2013 when he was literally 16 or 17. I guess he was going into Northwestern versus now. There's not a lot different. There's not a lot of difference in the look.
Yeah,
but he's a guy that's been kind of on the periphery, but also someone that was expected to do big things coming into the professional game. Took him a little bit longer maybe than what some thought, but here it is, and Matthew Fitzpatrick is the U.S. Open champ.
I feel for Will Zalatoris coming up short once again. Feels like he's eventually going to get one. But I think in the game of golf, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of it is mental, and mentally, he's got, I mean, that could stick with him because he even came out and said, I'm just looking at headlines, said this one hurts. And he's got to push that out and move on because I think he's on the cusp of getting one of these majors. We always talk about, you know, the analogy goes across all sports. So don't let one loss beat you twice or don't let a strike you out more than once and stuff like that. You would hope that this doesn't cost him, you know, mentally another major, a chance at another major. He's been so close.
Okay, so he has played, Will Zalatoris has played in 8 majors.
I got breaking news.
And he's been in the top 10 in 6 of the 8. Go ahead.
My kid is officially without a cast. It's off. It's gone. Goodbye. She's can swim now. It's been too long around her arm. the smelly cast is gone. I'm sorry. That was just congratulations, that's just great family James. News. Yes, she is very happy. And you know what she has later this afternoon? A swim lesson.
Swim lesson. Yep. Perfect timing.
Yep. All right, I'm sorry.
So six of the eight, Will Zalatoris has finished in the top 10. Tied for second yesterday, two solo seconds in the 2021 Masters, and then at Southern Hills where he lost in a playoff. I mean, the guy, for not winning one, I mean, he's been as close as you could. Just think, he's not even back to the Masters. He was right there throughout. He's not very far away. He's got none, and he could have all three of them with just the littlest bit of luck. But, you know, it's interesting because there's two ways of thinking about it, and there's one is, man, he's been so close. Surely he's going to get one of these. Surely. Eventually he's going to get one of these. But there's also the, are we sure? Man, how many times can he be there, not get it done?
Yeah.
And be able to come back and have chances to win golf tournaments. It's, you would think that eventually things are going to break his way. But, man, it's a testament to him to keep on coming back and keep on coming back and keep on coming back after heartbreak. Over and over in these things. But, you know, that's to me, there's three storylines coming out of this. There's Fitzpatrick finally getting it done. A guy that a lot of people thought would. Took him a little bit, but he has. There's clearly Zalatoris and his play in the majors and just not being able to quite get one done. And then the third storyline to me is, once again, while in contention on the weekend, Rory fades.
Yeah, that's my next point of discussion.
Rory fades on the weekend in contention. We saw it at Southern Hills. We saw it here. And everybody wants to go back and man, what a round he played on Sunday at the Masters. Yeah, because there was zero pressure.
True.
You know, and really, at Southern Hills, he played pretty well in the final round. He played terrible on Saturday. But part of it, even if you go back and look at his round at Southern Hills, as he got himself in, he played himself into contention. But when he got there, it dried up. The putter quit working. You know, a tee shot left here. You know, whatever it was. You know, there's a lot of different things. But the bottom line is, he faded again on the weekend. And it's just amazing to me that a guy with that much talent that can play that good of golf. We are looking at, after this major, after the British Open, if he cannot get that win, that's now 8 full years since Rory has won a major, dating back to the 2014 British Open. That seemed unfathomable when he beat Ricky down the stretch at that British Open.
Right. Because everyone was talking about how many can he get? How many can he get? Can he get to the double-digit mark even? Because he's young, or he was young back then. And, yeah, again, goes back to the mental thing. How much does that weigh him down? It's like, man, again, just another one. Slipped out. I mean, I play good for a couple rounds. I can't put it together. Can't put four rounds together. That's got to be weighing on him a little bit.
Actually, it was the PGA in 2014, the last major, which is now the British, so it's still either here nor there. And you know, the thing about him is it's not like he has been terrible.
No, that's the thing.
He's got tons of top tens since, but it's just something missing from Rory on the weekends in these majors. And it's hard to put your finger on it because it's not always the same thing. It's not always the putting. It's not always this. It's not always that. But he just hasn't been able to close the deal. And once again, he wasn't able to close the deal. It's pretty shocking.
It is a little.
Because you mentioned double digit. I mean, it felt like 10 was an inevitability after 2014. Another huge story, especially around these parts, Oklahoma, the Sooners baseball team, one win away from the championship series at the College World Series. They knocked off Notre Dame 6-2 last night. Interesting, something that I know that I heard Jim talk about throughout the week, and it came to fruition. Skip Johnson turned to Cade Horton, who had been the third pitcher in his rotation. But the three starts prior to last night shut down Texas in the Big 12 title game, shut down Florida in the win-or-go-home game in the regional, did it again to Virginia Tech in the same situation, game three. Skip Johnson gave him the ball last night, and all he did was strike out a career-high 11, walk one. First time since Mark Redmond back in 94 that the Sooners had a pitcher strike out as many as 10. Oh, you got enough offense, and they win 6-2. But interesting that in that situation, Johnson rode the hot hand, and by the way, it was clearly the correct decision.
Yeah, he was – through two innings he had four strikeouts. He was hot, and it was clear he was in the zone. And speaking of hot, I mean, you talk about players that are just fantastic right now. Graham and Treadway stand out. Stuff that they're doing at the plate is awesome. And on the, I love the aggressive base running. I love it. The fake bunts, you notice that? Just to keep Notre Dame on their toes, and they were doing that all night long. A good win for OU, and now they wait. I mean, it's crazy to think they're a game away from the championship series. A win away. That is crazy. You never think this, even a month ago.
I'm still not convinced they're in the College World Series.
It's just surreal. It's weird. Is that the right word? Weird, but they're a hot team. That's baseball. They're hot. They're remaining hot. And someone pointed this out to me before the A&M game, when they do the pressers and stuff like that, and they asked the A&M coach, you know, what do you think about your opponent and OU? And he said that they're a scary team because, and I didn't know what he meant, and I didn't look into it, but he said they are built to win a tournament like this, and mainly because of pitching, I think.
Pitching, and they're able to manufacture runs in tons of ways. And Reggie Willits, with the offensive philosophy, I was texting with a guy last night, it has to be annoying to be a pitcher against Oklahoma because of how aggressive they are.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, if it felt like six runs was the fewest they could have possibly scored.
Oh, they had opportunities to score
all
more.
Kinds of opportunities. Yeah. They ran the aggressiveness ran themselves into outs a couple of different mm-hmm. times. But that's kind of just what you take your medicine when it doesn't work out, because it does more likely than not. I thought it was interesting that he decided to go with Horton. It makes total sense, and I think a lot of people, after seeing what Horton did the previous three outings, probably would have been, if not second-guessing, just flat-out mad if Johnson wouldn't have turned to him last night and handed in the ball there in a game that is so critical, because look at the difference between winning that game and losing from a pitching staff perspective is astounding. So now OU gets off till Wednesday, and we'll be able to come back with whoever they want, I would assume.
I think so.
If they want to throw Bennett, I don't see why they wouldn't throw, especially if Notre Dame beats A&M, because then, you know, Notre Dame didn't see Bennett, A&M did.
Very true.
So you wonder if you – and then have you looked far enough – will it be – is it two Wednesday or one Wednesday, one Thursday, if the if necessary game kicks in?
I haven't looked at the schedule. I don't know as far as when that would be. Let me attempt it here.
I mean, it seems like with the any pitching rules that have been instituted have made it less likely that you're playing multiple games
in a day. Let's see here. Standby.
And also, I would assume, because of the way it's been different as far as the schedule, I would assume that you would want to, that both sides of the bracket would play Wednesday. And both if necessary games would be third, just because that doesn't give a huge advantage to anybody going into the championship series.
Okay, game is Wednesday.
Yeah, I know the first game would be
right,
Wednesday.
And if necessary game is needed, it will be on Thursday at 1 o'clock.
I figure it would be the same thing for both. Like, you know, the other side will play today. The elimination games will be tomorrow. And then the winners – or the possibly the last games would be Wednesday and then both Thursday. Okay, that makes total sense.
Yeah, they
to
reserve
me.
Thursday for those if necessary games. If there's not, there's not going to be any games on Thursday, and they'll start the championship series on Friday.
On Friday. Okay. Yeah, that's I was thinking.
I'm sorry. On Saturday.
Yeah, because they give a day off again.
Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. If am I saying that right? Yeah, if necessary.
Okay.
Check my dates. Yeah.
So to me,
OU is sitting pretty right now.
Boy, that means that's another interesting dilemma for Skip Johnson.
Yeah.
Because would you want to run anybody but Bennett out there on Wednesday? Would you want to save him for a if necessary game Thursday? And then, oh, by the way, if you don't have to play that if game, you've got your horse ready to go Saturday. Then you got your pitching set up completely for the championship series. But it doesn't do you any good to get the championship series pitching set up if you don't play in the championship series.
Right.
So there's a lot of interesting things there.
The answer to that question, I always go back to
throw your best.
If he's available, throw him. Because you can't play what-if games.
And you've got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So 4 full days of rest for Bennett going into Wednesday. I would assume he'd probably throw, no matter who they play.
Me too.
No matter who wins that game between A&M and Notre Dame tomorrow. Sooners sitting pretty. By the way, twice in their history, did you see this last night during the game? I'm sure you did. Twice in the history of OU baseball, they started 2-0 at the College World Series, 1951, 1994. What do those years have in common?
They brought home a trophy.
The only 2 years they've won the baseball national championship.
So
this team reminds me a ton of the way that 94
it
team
really,
went.
It really does. They talked a lot about them last night. It was cool to see Ryan Miner mentioned a few times.
Ryan Myers?
Yeah, Ryan Myers. That was great.
Kind of a quirky closer. When Treadway made that diving catch, it reminded me of Chip Glass against Arizona State.
Yes, yes.
Lots of things there.
Efforting Jim Traber to get on with us. Jared Atha with you right now. That's what Aaron's doing right now. But back to the OU baseball from the text line. Hottest team in the country from Billy. Absolutely they are. That's a big part of this. But another big part of this, I think they're 100% healthy, and then they're just on a roll. That's part of the hottest team in the country scenario. And they are the team that I think Skip Johnson thought they were at the start of the year, especially with that pitching coming together. And another comment on the text line, OU is having a run that the entire state thought that OSU would go on. And that's what, for me, Aaron, is the weird thing about it, is we all thought OSU would be in Omaha, and that's the standard for OSU, and they've come up short. Didn't think OU would go. I mean, that's just a weird thing to me. But it all goes into it. It's about being the hottest team right now, one of the hottest teams. I thought Notre Dame was one of those hot teams, and I was kind of that's kind of the storyline for me, was you got a hot team in OU, a hot team in Notre Dame coming in to play each other. I guess who was the hottest team, and OU was clearly that spot. And I guess steam kind of ran out on Notre Dame. At least last night they got a chance to get back to avenge that loss against OU. And A&M's an interesting one, too. I thought we didn't even mention Texas getting beat. The betting favorite was Texas going into this tournament, and then they go and get eliminated, going 0-2 in Omaha. Just shows you, Aaron, and I think we got Jim on, how wide open this tournament really is.
No doubt. We got Jim. Hey, Jim, we're talking about the OU baseball last night, 6-2 win over Notre Dame. Just a crazy, crazy run that Skip Johnson and the boys have been on that continues up in Omaha.
Yeah. I don't think it's ending. I mean, I really do. I mean, I'll be surprised if the national championship game's not Arkansas and OU. I really am. I mean, two seeds that, you know, played totally different ways. Arkansas at the beginning of the year was great, and then they fell apart, and then OU wasn't very good, and then they played great. So it's about playing well at the right time, man. I've talked about this for years, about the College World Series, and OU's playing great. You know, Horton, I talked, if you remember, I think it was with you guys, and I also talked on our station about, you know, would Skip Johnson make the change and put Horton in game two, and he did. He realized that if you win game two, you're in tremendous shape. And the Sandlin kid has just not been pitching very well. Now you can bring him back. You know, you bring Sandlin back to pitch probably the next game. But no, they're in really good shape, really, really good shape. But if they could win game three and just get it over with, well, then they've got their rotation set up beautifully, you know, with Bennett one and then Horton two. So it looks really good for them. They're playing some really good baseball.
You know, I was talking with a buddy last night. We were just the chaos that the offense, the style that Reggie Willits has brought to Oklahoma with being so aggressive on the base paths. It feels like that just kind of frustrates and drives pitchers nuts a lot because they don't see that style of baseball anymore. How much do you think that benefits the OU offense with that aggressiveness from Reggie?
Well, you said it. It's just nobody does it anymore. Very, very few people at this level and above, you know, bunt. And, I mean, one guy, like, tried to bunt. I don't know. I can't remember when it was, but I couldn't believe that they were bunting. You know, I mean, it was like for a base hit, but he's kind of squared away. And I thought, man, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But, man, you're putting pressure on the other team. And that's exactly what they're doing. And then they get on base and they're jumping around and running. So it's working beautifully for them. Like I said, the Peyton Graham kid's really, really good. They got some other guys that are good players, you know, the catcher and Treadway and stuff. But they don't have, like, superstars littered throughout their team. And they just get after it. They really do, man. They know how to play baseball. This is a really tremendous testament to Skip Johnson.
And, I mean, the comparisons to 94 can't be ignored. Just with that team was fairly similar outside, you know, Damon and Ryan. But just a bunch of guys that were really good at baseball. They had Mark Redmond on the mound, kind of similar to Bennett in that they're lefties. And in the closer, Buckles was probably more dominant than Trevin Michael. But the makeup of this team seems pretty similar, easily comparable to that one.
Yeah, that's weird. I didn't really think about it that way, but you're right. I'll tell you, they win a national championship. You talk about an incredible, well, first of all, whether they win it or not, just an unbelievable sports calendar year for OU. I mean, just incredible, you know. And then they'll be the first team, if they can win it, to win both baseball and softball in the same year. And it's been an amazing season. It really has. And for them to be where they are in the catbird seat right now is really, really impressive.
What stood out to me over the first round of this was every unseeded team got a win in the first games. And then, I mean, Texas bowing out early tells me that this thing is wide open. Did you watch any of the other games, and what did you think?
I did not. The only game I watched was the OU games. Look, I've said it all the time, Jared. Whoever's hot wins this thing. It's not the best team in the country. I mean, I don't think anybody – I mean – I guess maybe some big, huge OU fan would scream at me, but I don't think OU's the best team in the country. But they got a great chance to win it. And that's whoever's hot, and their confidence is high. Texas, obviously a lot of people thought Texas had a really good chance, but you go up there, you get beat. It's a tough deal. Like I said before, the first time that I went to the College World Series, fellas, we were just glad to be there, man. We were just happy, just out there. You know, we didn't expect it. And we went all the way to the final game. And if it would have been the format that it is now, probably would have won the national championship. And then the next year, we were the best team in the country. I mean, I think everybody thought we were the best team in the country. And we faced Roger Clemens to start it all off. And then we won a game and then lost the next one, and we were done. So you just never know what's going to happen. But, you know, it doesn't matter. When you get the trophy, it doesn't say on it, well, you weren't the best team in the country, you know, on paper. You just go play it, you win. So that's what they're doing. They're doing it. And they're battle-tested, man. They've been on the road against two good teams.
Uh-oh. We may have lost him.
I think we did.
I think we may have lost him.
Thanks, cell phones. It's 2022. We can't get a better connection yeah. with cell phones.
All right, let's see.
But yeah,
still shows he's there.
The hottest team is OU. It's crazy. Well, he might jump back on.
No, he went.
Okay. Well, just not having luck today with with Jim. We'll get him back. We'll get his thoughts on the U.S. Open, and then of course the Thunder. I'm interested in the NBA draft. And what Jim's thoughts are on what the Thunder should do with the 12th pick. Right. We get him back?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Jim, you're back.
I don't know what the heck is going on.
That's all right. You know, it's interesting. I just saw yesterday after Texas lost, you know, the last team that's still remaining, the last national championship team out of any of the schools remaining?
You mean the one that's won it?
The one won it the most recent?
Well, I'm going to guess it's OU in 94.
It is. That's pretty crazy to think that it's been that long for them and nobody else that's still alive in the tournament has won it more recently than the Sooners.
Well, has A&M claimed any?
I mean, no. Mississippi was going to fire their coach a month ago. Notre Dame has never been very good in baseball. Arkansas, that's crazy. Yeah, Arkansas. Well, last year, you remember Arkansas, everybody thought it was going to win it, and they got beat. They didn't even make it to the Super Regional, I think. So, yeah, that's crazy. So the last one is OU at 94. That's good stuff.
How much of the U.S. Open did you watch over the weekend?
I watched a lot of it. A lot. It was it's my favorite tournament just because they're very challenged. And, gosh, I got so many things to say about the tournament. I thought that the bunker shot that Fitzpatrick hit was just unbelievable. I mean, that was – I mean, here he is hitting the ball the wrong way. We're going to have a playoff, and that shot he hit, fellas, was absolutely amazing. You know, Skinny, you played a lot of golf. He had that little hump there next to him. So very impressive from him. You know, he's so good at putting the ball in play, and that's what you got to do. And then, you know, Zalatoris, the great ball striker that he is, he really did not hit the ball well at all yesterday. You know, I mean, he's hitting the ball all over the place. And but I'll tell you what, if he keeps being right there for majors, he's going to win one fairly soon. And then, you know, Rahm and McIlroy, everybody said, oh, watch out for these guys, and they obviously didn't get it done. And then Scheffler, I mean, I don't know, man, he played some crazy up and down golf in this tournament. He really did. I mean, he shoot 31 on the front. And you're thinking, wow, here he goes. And then, of course, he bogeys a couple holes and then comes back. And I thought the putt was going to go in, man. I really did. I thought that putt was going in. And then I thought Zalatoris' putt was going to go in. So it was some great theater. Pretty cool how he had won there when he was an amateur. And, you know, the whole Umet story. I love that story. I love that movie, man. I'm sure both you guys have seen the movie. I love the movie about him and the little fat guy. I just love that movie. So, really, really, it was a really cool weekend, I thought, of golf.
Yeah, I thought Zalatoris for sure had it when his shirt yesterday had We Met and the caddy on it. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite enough magic. Hey, when did Matt Fitzpatrick become the guy that just starts bombing it off the tee? And, you know, he's always been a guy, to me, just kind of a perfect U.S. Open player because he plotted it right along. Now, all of a sudden, he's driving it over the road on 15, the only guy to get to 5 and 8 off the tee and in 2 yesterday. Just crazy how he's transformed his game.
Yeah. Well, they're getting bigger and stronger, you know. I mean, he's a youngster, so they're still growing. Same with Zalatoris. You know, I had a friend of mine. You know, when I played golf, I haven't played in a long time, as you guys well know, but when I played golf, I hit the ball over 300 yards. You know, I mean, I hit the ball a long ways. I got a friend of mine who still plays, and he told me, he said, Jim, if you played golf right now with the equipment that they have, what they've done to these drivers and things, he said, you'd hit the ball 340, 350. Now, maybe not at 60 years old, I doubt it, but it's amazing what they've done to these drivers, Skinny. You know, you're still playing. And so these guys get bigger, stronger. And then they get these drivers that just unload on the ball, and that's what you get, you know. I mean, these young guys are just getting – just hit it further. And it doesn't matter how big you are. Look at Zalatoris, boy. He's a little tiny guy, and he's hitting the ball a long way. So, yeah, Fitzpatrick really really hit it a long ways. He's got a chance to win multiple majors. We say that. I'm not going to go out on any limbs for any of these guys because all of them, almost every one of them, never, ever live up to what you think. But there were dudes at the top of that leaderboard that you think will definitely be back. There's no doubt about that. And I'm so glad. You're going to be mad at me, Skinny. I'm so glad that Tiger didn't come. You know, I really am. I mean, if all it would have been was a sideshow, and we just got to watch golf. You know, we didn't watch. Could it happen with Tiger? You know, it's not going to happen with Tiger. So I'm glad that he didn't go, and I'm glad that we got to watch really good golf. You know, don't be mad at me, Skinny. I apologize. I know you're probably seething that.
I think he agrees with you.
No,
honestly.
Totally agree, because that's not the place where he needs to be. He's clearly not in a position to be able to challenge. But I do think what's amazing when you see like Phil not playing at all, and he had zero chance to make the cut and didn't. I think you start to appreciate what Tiger pulled off at the Masters and the PGA, but that's you want to see Tiger. You don't want to see that for Tiger, though. It's not, hey, fight to make the cut. It's, hey, get in contention and try to win the thing.
Yeah, listen, he's a lot better than it's just the way it is. This dude, there's only one better than him ever, and some people think none. And that's what's amazing about it. So, yeah, he can come back and make the cut. But if he does make the cut, then there's four rounds of every shot by Tiger. And then when he's not playing well, and I got to tell you, I'm going to tear into it on my show today, but the golf announcers are the worst in all of creation. I mean, how many times are they going to tell us what a great putt it was when it doesn't go in? You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm putting, if I hit a putt and it goes in, that's a great putt. I am just so sick and tired. I know that they make their money off of these players, but every once in a while they could say, gosh, man, he misread that. Or, you know, the only time they ever do that, if it's just horrific, all they do is stick up for these golfers time after time after time. And I just wish that they would be a little bit more truthful. You know, they aren't. We need a good old Johnny Miller.
Yeah.
I know I never thought I'd say that, but that's what we need. We need Johnny Miller. But it's all just a big old glad festival of everybody like, oh, these are the best players in the world. And, of course, I think with the Live deal, I think that they're concerned that if they say anything bad, that something, you know, who knows what happened to them. So I got to tell you, I'm really tired of those announcers. By the way, I did want to say, if you want to talk about it more, great. But I did want to say something about the Live tour.
Go ahead.
Either one of you see the interview that Greg Norman did?
Which one?
It was on Fox.
I did not.
Ooh, I didn't either. I was playing baseball all week, all weekend.
Oh,
I didn't get
really?
To see it.
Well,
my
nice.
Son was.
Very nice. Yeah, okay. I was wondering if you were playing baseball. That's got to be an old fat
guy. Yeah, it was way too hot for old fat guys to be out there playing baseball.
I know. I would have never been near that. No, listen. Let me tell you guys something, okay? You guys listen to me all the time. You know that I don't like these other countries, that things that they do and stuff. But let me tell you about the hypocrisy that's going on out there. So, 23 different advertisers.
I saw this
on
quote.
The PGA Tour.
I didn't know who made it. Okay, I got you.
It's Greg Norman. 23 different advertisers on the PGA Tour have over $40 billion invested in Saudi Arabia. Okay, are we listening to this now? 23 different advertisers have over $40 billion total invested in Saudi Arabia. So I don't want to hear Moynihan and all these people crying like little children about Saudi Arabia, okay? When it's good for them, they're fine with it. But when it's not, they use it. It's pathetic. The other thing is, whoever the number one sponsor is of women's golf all over the world, they're in bed with Saudi Arabia too. So I don't want to hear, it's like I said on my program, I'm talking on a cell phone right now. We all have cell phones. Where do all the cell phones come from? They come from China, okay? China is 50 billion times worse than Saudi Arabia. I don't like it. I wish that we could cut all our ties with all of them. But unfortunately, that when you have a big, you know, international world, it's not going to be able to be done. So everyone stop crying their eyes off about Saudi Arabia, because the PGA is in bed with them too, guys. It's disgusting.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week when, you know, DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, looks like Abe Anser is headed that way. And then someone inside the top 16 is supposed to announce this week that they're going to be there. And to me, you mentioned Tiger, and I have a feeling the ratings are going to be very good for this U.S. Open without him. Probably one of the better rated tournaments, majors without him, because of the live and because of what that kind of just the talk of round golf was that could the if they would embrace this and not be so hypocritical over it, because I've mentioned China a ton, and then I saw that quote from Nora and didn't realize he was the one that said it, but could this be the way that the post Tiger golf world is able to sustain itself, because now you have the rivalry that could be created between the two tours?
Well, we'll see. We'll see if the hoity-toity PGA is going to eventually say, okay, we can coexist. I mean, look, I don't like that Saudi Arabia is the head of the daggone thing. I don't. But it's the way it is. And these golfers have the ability to do what they want to do. And I said, you remember, guys, I said that if they do it upright, and obviously it sounds like they did do it upright, other golf, Dustin Johnson and these other guys are going to come back to these tournaments, and when they're on the range, someone's going to walk over to them and go, hey, how did that go? And they're going to say, I got to tell you something, dude. This is cake, you know, or whatever they're going to say. They're going to say, look, they treat us unbelievable. We're playing great golf courses. You're guaranteed money. You can win, you know, more money in a tournament than the guys won in 4 years. And there's going to be other people do it. I'm sorry. And I'll tell you this, if I'm one of the tour players and I heard what Greg Norman said, I would go to Moynihan and say, listen, dude, shut your mouth, okay? Don't talk anymore, because you're going to make yourselves look so stupid. And that's what's going to happen. Now, just like our media does with many things in politics, I think that the media will not talk a lot about these stats about the other people that are already in bed with Saudi Arabia. I'm sure that they're not going to make this a big, huge... Matter of fact, I bet the Golf Channel doesn't talk about it at all.
Oh, no.
That would be my guess.
No.
You know, because they're in bed with the PGA. But just, I wish that they would just shut up. Because what I'd like to see is, if they're going to continue to talk like that, I'd like to see Greg Norman name the daggone people. I'd like to see him put out who they are. I'd like to see what the investments are. You know, you listen to Greg Norman. If you go back, listen to it. He was on with Greg Kilmeade on Fox News. You go back and listen to that interview. He's not an idiot, guys. Okay? He's really smart. And he's a great businessman. He's made millions and millions of dollars. And he does an impressive interview. And he talks all about the research that they've done. Their business model. They put it together for a year, and they've gone over it, blah, blah, blah. It's pretty impressive. I mean, they asked him to do this in February. He didn't agree to it till August. That's how long he vetted over this thing. So, anyway, I'm not happy about the thing, but I'm also not happy about Taiwan and them having every daggone chip that goes in our cars and China trying to take them over. I don't want it to be too political, but that's the way life is, unfortunately, nowadays. It's all well and good to stand up for a cause, and if someone does stand up for the cause, I'll applaud them. But don't rip people that are involved in something, and the other people are involved in it too. It disgusts me.
Yeah, and I'm glad he brought that to light, because when you talk about, oh, the tour's got a bunch of Chinese ties, then they say, well, you know, that's just this. But when you put it into those terms of the exact country that you're ripping on, you're in bed with also, it brings it all the way full circle and shows the hypocrisy.
And Skinny, the NBA is a perfect example, right?
Yeah.
When you bring up China, they go, oh, we're just spending it. No, your owners have billions of dollars invested in China, okay? I mean, don't, if you're going to be in bed with somebody, you know, it's like one of those people that, sleeps with somebody that's not up to their par, and then when they're asked about it, they're like, oh, no, I don't even know that person. What are you talking about? I don't even know their person. Yeah, okay. We know that you're with them. And it's the same thing with this. We know you're in bed with China, NBA. Just either admit it or get out of it, one or the other. But don't tell me about how you care. See, the hypocrisy in sports is beyond belief. How the NBA tells us about how much they care about human rights and all these other things. And But then when it comes to China, oh, no, we're okay with China. Well, China is 80 billion times worse than anything we do in this country, all right? But they're right there with them. So anyway, I was going to talk about that today. I just don't know if people know about that LIV deal. I don't know if they know about the PTA.
No,
and the people hear the truth.
And it's because they don't get told about it. Just like you said, the Golf Channel will never air that interview, show that quote, because of their ties to the PGA Tour through NBC and all the things that are, I'm sure, tied up there with what we're talking about.
I wonder how much money NBC has in it, or CBS. I mean, I guarantee you that all those people have money, first of all, guaranteed in China, but they probably got some Saudi. And by the way, the president of the United States is trying to do business with China, with Saudi Arabia. We're trying to get oil from them, which, of course, that's another story for me. I think it's ridiculous. But the point is, you know, the PGA Tour, get rid of your holier than now, okay? You've got a great tour. You got all the best players. Just tell the truth, okay? Just tell the truth. You know all about Saudi Arabia because you are all in there with them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Let's go quickly to the Thunder draft. Question, will they stay at 2 and 12?
Two, yes. I think there's a great chance they're getting out of 12. I mean, there was a new trade rumor today, I guess, that they're 12, 34, and 2 number 1 later on to get up to number 4 with Sacramento. And, you know, the great thing about it is, dude, is that Sacramento is just, they're the dumbest humans alive. So hopefully they can just, you know, they can take from them. But, yeah, I mean, can you imagine if they got, I mean, I don't know if it's Sharp or Ivy. I'm not sure who it is. There's somebody that they really, really like. But, boy, if they could get up and get, like, Holmgren and Sharp or something like that, now you're saying, man, okay, let's go. Let's roll the balls out and see what happens. They're not going to win any championships, but at least they're going in the right direction. Then you play a season where you see how good these guys are, and if they are really good, then you trade somebody and you go get a player that's already shown what he can do, and then you're in really good shape. So I don't know, man. I'm really excited about the draft. I will be playing poker at the time, but out in Vegas, but I'll be glued to the TV set.
When we talk to you next time, will Lou Dort still be a member of the Thunder?
I'll say yes, but I think it's not much over 50-50. And by the way, I won't be able to be with you next week or the next week because next week I'll be in Vegas, and then the next week, fellas, I will be on a Alaskan cruise. So if it's 100 here, think of me, it'll be about 65.
Right? Speaking of Vegas, say you're heading out there Wednesday. How did you do this last weekend up in Tulsa?
Oh, my gosh, man. Unbelievable. I'm going to throw up. So I bag chips, and then I come back the second day with like 108,000, and I proceed to run the 108,000 up to about 270. Things are going great, man. I flop quads. I mean, I flop the flush. And right after I did that, I get pocket kings, and the guy raises, and I re-raise him big, really big, and he calls. And then the flop comes like 9-5-3 or something. Anyway, needless to say, we get it all in. He's got pocket eights. So I'm gone. The only hand in the deck, well, first of all, he wouldn't have hit a set of nines or fives or threes because he wouldn't have called my big bet. You know, if he had like pocket fives or pocket nines, you just don't call that big of a bet. So there's only one hand he can beat me. One. That's it. It's aces. I thought maybe he had ace king or pocket queen. Nope. Maybe even the same as me with pocket kings. Mm-hmm. That'll happen every once in a while, but nope, had the number one hand, so I was gone. So I won. What I win? I actually bought in twice. So I actually got. I basically broke even. But it was fun. But it was good getting ready to go to Vegas because I'm fired up to get to Vegas on Wednesday.
What is your schedule for this week in Vegas so we can kind of follow along with how you're doing?
Well, Wednesday I'll just be rolling in. I'm going to go get the lay of the land because there's a new place where the World Series of Poker is. It hadn't been there before. So I'm going to go over there. Julie and I are going to go over there. And then we have two, I don't know if you know this, but we have two hotel rooms. We got one at the Venetian and one at the Encore because Julie likes to swim in the Encore pool. It is a lot nicer than the Venetian one. So, but luckily we got them for free, so that's good. So we'll check into both hotels. And then we'll go over and check out the lay of the land. And then I'll buy in for the senior event. Then we'll go out to dinner. And then the next day I'll be bright and early getting after it in the senior event on Thursday at 10 a.m. our time. No, and out there 10 a.m., but noon here. So I'll try to keep people updated as much as I can. But, yeah, I'm fired up. I haven't played the World Series of Poker in 4 years. 4 years, because 3 years ago I was all set up and I had to have brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, 2 years ago, COVID. And last year, COVID. So I haven't been out there in 4 years to play the World Series of Poker. And I'm fired up. I'm having a hard time, like, figuring out how to, like, move minute to minute till I get out there.
How much, you know, you always talk about the mental preparation and the mental side of sports. How much outside of just playing probably more poker than you have in the lead up to this, do you like study odds? Or is it just one of those things that you kind of know those in the back of your head and it goes by feel once you get on the table?
I mean, I don't know, like, that if I have hands, you know, that I'm like 38% or 55%. But I kind of know everything else, you know. I know kind of all the situations that are going on, and you know, I'm kind of like the Sooners baseball team, dude. I'm hot. I've been hot, you know. So I'm confident. I feel good. You know, there's nothing you can do. Pocket kings against pocket aces. You know, they call that the biggest cooler in poker. I guess I could have played it any different, but we'd have gotten it in no matter what, you know, because the turn and the flop. I mean, the turn and the river were both cards underneath of everything, so. I wasn't going anywhere, and he wasn't going anywhere. So, you know, you just sometimes you get unlucky, but you just think of what could happen, you know, as you're rolling. You just think, go ahead, first place was $37,000, so would have been really nice to roll through there. But anyway, I feel good. I'm ready to go. I got no idea what's going to happen. If you get knocked out of that tournament, there's other tournaments all the way through the weekend, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm ready to go.
All right, man. Hey, good luck. We'll be following your progress, and then it's pretty amazing the difference. You're going to go from one of the hottest places on earth to one of the coolest places on earth in a week.
Yeah, I know. I saw the weather. Listen to this. So when I leave here, it's supposed to start getting to like 100 and 101. I get to Vegas, and it's 110. I think 108, excuse me. I think it's going to be 110 Friday. And then come back here again for, I'm sure, about around 100. And then the high in like Juneau, Alaska, today is like 68. So that should be a lot of. That should be wonderful.
I've done an Alaskan cruise before. It was in August a few years ago, and it's fantastic. You're going to enjoy it.
Well, good. I can't wait. I've never been on. I played baseball in Alaska that one summer, but I've never been on a cruise. And the whole area that we're going to, I've never been to. I've never been to Juneau, and then there's some other names I've never even heard of. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Although I'm looking forward to the poker first. Don't tell Julie, but that's what I'm really
looking
for.
What about the podcast this week?
Dude, let me tell you, man, two of my favorites back-to-back, today and next week, my son-in-law's. We did it for Father's Day. Both of them are fathers, and it was really, really good stuff. I loved it. I think everybody else will love it. You'll hear about how it is to be the son-in-law of yours truly. Sometimes it's not the best. I can promise you that. So yeah, this today and then next Monday is the one where they get to ask us questions. So they're back to back, and I think everybody will really like them. That's Julian Jim Traver podcast. Julian Jim Traver podcast. You can go to sportsanimal.com and find it, or you can go anywhere where they have podcasts and just put in Julian Jim Traver. And make sure you follow on Instagram @Jim Traver. So.
All right, man. Hey, have a great couple weeks here, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas, thanks. See ya.
You betcha. Thank you. Ultimate Jim Traver joining us here on a Monday. World Series of Poker, Alaskan cruises. Man, by the time we talk to him again, golly, it'd be July. We'll be like 8 weeks from college football.
That is true. We'll be right up in it. We'll be close to media days, I would think.
It might even be that week.
Might even be that week.
So it'd be what, like July?
Well, have to keep a list of everything
you know
we
what?
Want to ask them. Well,
turns
what'd you
out.
Think about the draft? What'd you think about this?
11th. July 4th would be 2 weeks from today. And then that next week. So July 11th. Yeah. Talking about like 6 weeks.
That's right.
Everybody have a great Monday. We will be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to